The car fire that burned in Shasta and Trinity counties covered almost 230,000 acres this summer. It destroyed at least 1,600 buildings and became the sixth most destructive fire in California history. The car fire cost more than $1.6 billion in damages, including about $1.5 billion in insured losses and more than $150 million in suppression costs. Financial relief is available from the Small Business Administration, but the deadline for applying is soon approaching. Joining us this morning is Chelsea Irvine, the Public Information Officer for the Office of Disaster Assistance, Field Operations Center West. Good morning, Chelsea, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me on this morning. JPR has been amazing with helping us get the word out about these programs that are available for car fire survivors.
Well, you're welcome. And the deadline is about a week away, isn't it?
You know, it's a week from today. October 3rd is the deadline for physical damage applications for our SBA disaster assistance loans. And it's also the deadline to apply for FEMA grant assistance.
And those are two separate things and two different puddles of money, I guess you would say, right?
Right, right. The SBA and FEMA are federal partners in disaster recovery. And basically how that works is when the president declared the car fire for federal assistance, that enables survivors both FEMA grant assistance for immediate needs like rental assistance. They help with medical expenses and things like that. And then the SBA, which we offer low-interest direct federal loans, and they're for homeowners, renters, businesses of all sizes, and most private nonprofits. And I know a lot of people are surprised to find out that the bulk of our SBA disaster assistance loans are actually made to homeowners and renters. So I know people see SBA and they think, I'm not a business, this doesn't apply to me.
Yeah.
But as a matter of fact, with how the car fire damage kind of went, there weren't that many businesses that were physically affected. So about 95% of the loans that we've approved so far have been to homeowners and renters.
And how are those loans structured compared to a conventional loan? Are there different requirements? And if you have a different level of income or assets, does that affect, you know, like it would in a conventional mortgage?
Right, right. So the basic details of these loans are, for homeowners, we offer up to $200,000 to repair or replace a primary residence. And then for homeowners and renters, we offer up to $40,000 to replace all the personal property inside the home and disaster damaged vehicles. And how those loans work is, it's based on a verified estimate from our loss verification department. It's not dependent on what your insurance says. This is meant to cover uninsured or underinsured losses. So I know a lot of people think, I have insurance, I should be fine. Well, you know, the recovery process can be a bit lengthy, as we are finding out now, because just debris removal is still in full swing, and we're two months into this. So a lot of people think that their insurance is going to cover them, and then find out 6 months down the road that, you know, you have code-required upgrades, or, you know, the cost of wood has gone up, or, you know, just the cost of getting a contractor because, you know, there's so many people out and the demand is crazy. So a lot of people find down the road that they have a gap, and that's what these loans are made for. Most of the loans for homeowners and renters are at 1.938%, which, because they're direct federal loans, they're always at a subsidized below market rate.
Right.
And they're made by construction loans where you get disbursements as you go along with your construction. And we actually offer a 5-month payment deferment. So once you sign your loan documents and start taking disbursements, you don't make a payment for those first 5 months, because we know people are finding temporary housing and kind of just figuring out which end is up. So we give you that 5-month window to not have to make any payments. And then usually the loans are over 30 years. So the payments are kept as low as possible. You can apply online at sba.gov/disaster, or we're still over here at the old Kmart, as everybody calls it, in Reading at 2685 Hilltop, and we have staff there that can walk you through the loan application. You don't have to bring in a bunch of documents. You can get the process started online, and then you're connected with the loan officer who discusses your credit and discusses your income and sees if, you know, a loan is a good option for you.
And the important thing in this whole process is that if you need to do that, that you get in by next Wednesday and start the application process. You don't have to have all of the I's dotted and T's crossed, right?
Exactly. We just want everybody to know to first register with FEMA at disasterassistance.gov and then get that SBA loan application in. Even if you don't know if you're going to need money down the road or you're not sure, maybe you're thinking about relocating, which this money can be used for, get that application in. And just an interesting point to mention that maybe some people don't realize is you need to get that application in by October 3rd, but you can go through the entire process, get approved, and then withdraw your application at that point. And that gives you a six-month window to reinstate that application. But you do need to get that application in by October 3rd. And, you know, the big thing to point out here is people think, the SBA, what kind of part do they play in recovery? Well, as of this morning, we have approved over $27 million for these loans for disaster survivors from the Carr Fire and Mendocino Complex Fire. So, you know, we are definitely the number one source for long-term recovery, the bulk of which are homeowners and renters, as I mentioned. But it's also important to mention that we do have a component for businesses. And while, you know, not a lot of businesses were physically affected, a big part of our disaster assistance program is what's called economic injury disaster loans. And that is working capital to keep businesses operational during this recovery period. Not necessarily if you are physically damaged, but, you know, it's been a real strain on the economy out here. Not just the smoke, but with the highway closures and things like that. And now, as I'm sure you've heard, there's kind of this ripple effect where it's not just tourism. It's, you know, daycare centers where kids are displaced, so there's less kids in daycare centers, which affects the home business. There's, you know, people aren't spending money on even getting their hair cut right now. So I've talked to hair salons. And so I want to tell those business owners that even if you weren't physically affected, we offer economic injury disaster loans up to $2 million, but anywhere in there. And the interest rate on those is usually 3.61%, and the same thing, 15 or 30 years. And we just want to make sure that none of these small businesses who already operate on a real slim margin are put out of business by this fire.
If you have any questions this morning, call us at 800-838-3760 by email jx@jeffnet.org. We're speaking with Chelsea Irvine from the Small Business Administration. As you mentioned, kind of touched on earlier, most of your loans are for homes and not for businesses. And you also have that word small in there. But you you can scale these loans up quite a bit if in any given disaster if you have a large business that is also affected. Is that correct?
Right. You know, we go for our business loans up to $2 million. So there's some pretty big businesses that have received our assistance. But, you know, the bulk of it is really these small businesses, these mom and pop shops that this kind of thing could put them out of business. But the great thing is these are our tax dollars at work to stimulate the economy, to keep these businesses operating, to keep salaries paid, to keep leases paid, and to get through this more difficult time when we all know now that Redding and Shasta County has gone through this disaster time. Hopefully next year the economy will be booming and everybody will want to visit Redding, and, you know, it's going to be great. But I know the summertime out here is, you know, supposed to be the big moneymaker time to get through the leaner winter months. And that's what we're afraid of, is we don't want these businesses to, you know, I talked to somebody last week where every month he puts all his business expenses on a credit card. Well, last month was the first month he didn't pay that off. And odds are this month is going to be the second month that he doesn't pay that off. And that's what we're trying to prevent, is this high rate revolving debt that's so hard to get out of.
We've seen that same problem in Southern Oregon, not so much the fire damage, but the smoke damage has shut down many businesses that depend on tourism in the summer months. And, of course, Northern California would have that same issue to deal with. What about ongoing problems we've had, you know, with fire jumping I-5 and I-5 getting shut down? Are those the kind of things that SBA would step in and help with as well?
So these economic injury disaster loans are available in Shasta County and Lake County for the Mendocino Complex Fire, but also all of the contiguous counties, so all the counties that touch Shasta and Lake County. So that includes Lassen, Modoc, Plumas, Siskiyou, Tehama, Trinity, Colusa, Glen, Lassen, Mendocino, Sonoma, Napa, and all the way to Yolo, almost down to Sacramento, where I'm from. So any business that's feeling an economic impact from the Mendocino Complex fire, from the Carr fire, and from the Delta fire should apply. And even if you don't know that you're going to need it, apply for these loans. Have it there just in case. Get the process started. Although I want to mention that for these economic injury disaster loans, the deadline for that isn't until May 6th. But still, get it in there and have it just in case. And don't get the process started after you're already getting behind in, you know, your lease payment or having to lay off staff or something like that.
What is the process that you go through to guarantee compliance once you've approved a loan and the person says, I'm going to build a house? And what do you do to keep that person from sneaking out in the dark of night and not building their home?
Well, I mean, I'm sure some people have escaped to Hawaii and lived their best life, but we're trying to focus on getting people recovered in this area or, you know, nearby. And what happens is, so the process goes, you apply, you can go online at sba.gov/disaster or to the old Kmart or call us at 800-659-2955. You're connected with a loss verifier. They give us the estimate. Then you go through you're assigned a loan officer and you go through the processing. And then once you're approved, you're assigned a case manager. So that case manager works with you through the entire recovery process. When you submit estimates and need a disbursement, you have that same case manager the entire time. So they're able to kind of hold your hand through that process. And sometimes people need additional funds and we're able to increase the loan amount. And sometimes people need less because maybe, you know, hooray, your insurance came through with more than you thought and we're able to decrease the loan amount. It's very fluid. The whole process is fluid, but we're there with you for the long term and hoping that we can be that push that gets everybody fully recovered from these disasters.
I was going to ask about that insurance gap, you know, just hypothetical throwing it out. If you had a $300,000 home and your private insurance on your home maybe only covered $200 or $250, when you go in to apply within the next week, do you disclose that you have private insurance and that you may need just that gap coverage, or do you try to apply and completely refinance the loan to start over? And I'm assuming you're having to, like, completely rebuild your home in this case.
In this case, most of these loans are for a complete rebuild. And yeah, a lot of people do have insurance, and you will supply us with your insurance policy number and what your coverage is. But, you know, I don't know if you saw, but a couple of weeks ago, there was an article about the Wine Country fires last year.
Right.
And all these people who thought, oh, I have this insurance that's covering me because they get these lump sums in the beginning and it seems like so much. Well, they're 9 months into their recovery and now finding out that they have a $200,000 gap. So it just was heartbreaking to me because these people were draining their 401ks and things like that, and they're having this inner discussion of, should I have even rebuilt? And that is exactly what we're trying to prevent here. My job out here is to ensure that nobody in Shasta County and Lake County has that happen 9 months from now. So apply for these loans, no matter if you have any idea where your insurance is going to cover, have it there just in case. Get that application in by October 3rd and have it as kind of your backup plan. Put it in your back pocket in case you need it. You don't ever have to take it. There's not a fee if you change your mind. There's no fees associated with these loans. It's our tax dollars at work supporting all recovery for disasters like the Carr fire and the Mendocino Complex fire.
I was going to ask, this has been a pretty rough year. We've had all the fires in the West, and of course we had Hurricane Florence and Gordon. And does it ever reach a point where the SBA is pretty strapped for funds themselves if we're in a year with a lot of disasters?
Well, you know what? I've gotten that question a lot, and people thinking, I'm not going to apply because I don't want to take away the opportunity for somebody else to apply. There's no finite pot of money here. This money is allocated from Congress as needed. We can have more if we need it. And I know with Florence, gosh, that the scope of that disaster is just heartbreaking and gigantic. But, you know, we just came out of a year where Hurricane Harvey alone, we approved $3.4 billion so far just for Harvey. Then you take into account Irma and Maria. And we never ran out of money. If we need more money, It's there. It's our tax dollars. I don't want anybody to think that their applying for a loan or a grant will affect anybody else's opportunity. This money is here for recovery, and it's not going to run out. The well isn't going to run dry. It's here for everyone, and I can't stress enough, if anybody was affected, whether you be a homeowner, a renter, a lot of renters don't know that this is available, a business or a nonprofit, just apply. You don't ever need to take it. There's no, it's not going to run out of funds, but get in there, go to sba.gov/disaster, come to the old Kmart at 2685 Hilltop, get that application in. We got one more week, the final push.
Get it in.
Right.
All right. We've been speaking this morning with Chelsea Irvine, the Public Information Officer for SBA, telling us how you can apply for some relief from the car fire, and hopefully they'll do that. Thanks for joining us, Chelsea.
Thank you so very much, and have a great day.